I just don't think they actually realise a good thing when they have it.
They just scored. Sorry.
I'm a scorer now. We have a set piece.
Absolutely right.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Zeebo going on his own. He gets the try.
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Whoever gets over the line. Try from Munster.
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome to the Red 78, a Munster podcast for Munster fans. Rory O'Hagan from Off the Ball here, joined by Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes to discuss what was, pulling it mildly, a disappointing weekend in Italy for the Reds. Delighted to be joined, as I said, by Fiona and Alan. Guys, how are you? I'd imagine you're a bit kind of shell-shocked over the result over the weekend, are you?
I was coaching myself on Saturday evening, and I left the last viewing was half time, so I thought we're back on track. So I was shocked someone roared over to me with 2 minutes left in my own match the finishing score. So I was absolutely blown away. I thought they were having a laugh, as he was a Leinster man telling me. So when I actually watched it back, I was shocked. But look, the women finished off the weekend in style, so that was something to brighten my day at least.
They certainly did. That was some result for Ireland against New Zealand. How much of a shock was that, Fiona?
Yeah, I think it was a huge shock to anyone on the outside. When you're in a camp and you're in an environment and you're on a team, they'll say, you know, they knew it, they felt it. It wasn't that much. Obviously, they worked their socks off, but they, even listening to Adele McMahon Tricky yesterday, she said that they were fairly confident going in. They wanted to fire a few shots. They had analysed New Zealand well. So for them to actually come out and get the win, I think was huge, but it was that fight back as well. With New Zealand scored on 76 minutes and Ireland having the ability to get back up the pitch and get over for that try. It was just something special to watch and to see their defence in action, to see how physical, how fit they look. It from last year, it's like a different team in terms of confidence and how they're playing. Really exciting going into a World Cup year as well.
Yeah, a lot of credit there to be Scott Beamon and the work he's done with the team.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely 100%. He's got a good coaching staff in as well. He's changed a few things up. You see Hugh Hogan has come in. He's definitely gone to work. The girls are very impressed with him. And Steenson, we saw Dana's kick for the conversion, hit the post but went over. You can see that they are in awe, I suppose, of the coaching staff that are up there. They're learning a lot. There's a lot going on in there. But where I 100% was really impressed with is the breakdown work. It's so quick. It's so seamless. They're getting quick ball. You can see the tempo, the pace has been absolutely lifted. And you can't lift the pace unless that breakdown is I suppose, spotless or everyone is doing their role. And it seems that that's flowing. That area is definitely somewhere that's flowing and it's creating good rugby because we knew they had the backs to let loose. It was just getting them the ball cleanly and it's certainly working now.
And couldn't you imagine that result kind of brightened your mood a bit considering what you'd witnessed against Zebre at the weekend?
Yeah, it was a very strange performance, I would say. Credit to Zebre, they were, you know, it's in some ways, if it's great for the league that they've won. It's the first time in 24 games they've beaten Munster, and the excitement, the emotion at the end, that's what sport's about, to see that. Unfortunately, it was against Munster, and disappointing, I think, because given that I think Munster were the architects of their own downfall, and I mean that respectfully, it wasn't as if Zebre were pummeling them for the whole match and cut them apart. They cut them apart at times with terrible defence, handling errors, breakdown issues. So yeah, we can get into that a bit more in a minute, but what the Ireland women's team did against the Black Ferns was incredibly impressive. What a performance. And what a contrast to where we were 2 years ago, Rory, you know, with a lot of negativity and justified negativity and, you know, on a low ebb, if you like, for women's rugby, not qualifying for the World Cup and all the issues that were going on behind the scenes as well. So I've said this a couple of times, no point in looking back. There was lessons learned. Thankfully, we've seen and Fiona will know more about this than me. We've seen positive changes. We've seen development officers throughout the provinces. We've seen better, you know, the way the girls are looked after better as regards facilities and training gear and all that kind of stuff, training in the high performance unit, nutrition, the contracts that have obviously come out, given players the opportunity to focus solely to get condition themselves better. And I think that's a massive part of this transition. Obviously, no one wants to get too carried away, because but it's a milestone, and it's you know, they had beaten New Zealand obviously in 2014. It wasn't the first time ever, like the men did in Chicago. You kind of get that mental thing, but this is a significant win psychologically, and it shows that this team is improving dramatically. So Scott Beaman and the rest of the coaches have done a really good job. The players themselves have, they look different. They look more skillful. They look fitter, stronger. And that's down to, you know, not solely down to being full-time, but I know myself, I experienced it coming from the amateur into the professional era. You have an opportunity to get fit, to get strong, to recover well. And what a magnificent result. I'd say they had some party in Vancouver on Sunday night, Monday morning. And it was just brilliant to see, because if you looked at the game and analysed it, there's probably a few areas there that they look at and say, God, we need to be stronger defensively. Now, you're playing against very powerful players who I think they won six of the last seven World Cups. They're unbelievably strong and powerful, and they have a pedigree of quality in their teams, in their women's team, their international team. So big scalp, and you know, some brilliant performances from players. So that was a really, really positive win for women's rugby, and well deserved. And they deserve a lot of credit for it. They deserve a lot of people talking about it. I hope though next week they go out. Is it Canada next week, Fiona?
Canada on Saturday.
Canada on Saturday.
That they acquit themselves well again, because that's part of this. The culture of sport is coming down from that high, parking it, and getting the job done and training well this week. So it is part of their development. So, but I think we can be optimistic now that they're going to get better, and it will encourage young girls to come through as well. And I want to know if Aoife Wafer is available for selection in one of the men's teams, because she was astounding again, you know, astonishing performance and such a good player. Loads of brilliant performances. And of course, Amy Lee Murphy-Crowe from my hometown as well. The challenge probably be mirroring the sevens and the 15s together and keeping a happy camp within both groups. But it was an incredible performance.
Certainly was. Congratulations to Ireland and best luck to them against Canada on Saturday. Let's look back at Munster's defeat to Zebre over the weekend. Before we get into the weeds of that, Fiona, you've got some comments coming in to us from listeners about Munster's performance on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll start off with Gavin Murphy. He said, serious lack of leadership up front when Byrne and Peter Omani are absent. Who was the pack leader? Do they even know themselves? The S&C needs to be reviewed. Surely we can't put all these injuries down to bad luck. Patrick Hogan, our worst defeat ever, snatching a 9-point loss from what was looking like a bonus point win is hard to accept. Huge reaction to that performance is required for this coming weekend. But as ever, stand up and fight. Phil Quinlan, awful performance was despite the home side being outstanding, scratch it off the experience and move onwards and upwards. We've JJ Casey says the loss of Zebre was possibly the biggest shock in the history of the URC, and the response to the sloppy win against Connacht was abject. They look like they didn't train together before, or the combinations didn't work. Players and coaches need to own this and do a lot better. Julie Gleeson says, bad day at the office, but Zebre were brilliant. Let's not take that away from them. Onwards and upwards. And then lastly, Trevor, something weird in the systems there, lads. There's gaps at pillars that you'd see in under 12s. Common trend in each of the four games so far. Have to do better. We looked confused when it all went wrong. So no leadership there to take control, assign roles. But he said, we go again, sure.
Yeah, thanks for all those comments. Plenty to dig through there, Quinny, in those texts. Our worst defeat ever. Serious lack of leadership. Awful performance. The biggest shock in the history of the URC. I mean, like, what was your immediate reaction to?
Yeah, some of that stuff is possibly true. You think back. I played against Cardiff after I think 2004, and we were beaten 60-0. Back then, we were out of the league. We were knocked out of Europe by WASC the week before. I came back from my shoulder injury. I was 6 months out. That one jumps out at me when you're over in Cardiff and you've been beaten 50 or 60 points. The significance and the change, I think people will look at this one and it does jump out as being right up there. It's, you don't want to be disrespectful and say Zebra didn't play well, but I'm not sure this was a brilliant Zebra team. We'll see what happens going forward for the rest of the season with them. I think Munster were the architects of their own downfall. And again, one of the tweeters there saying the basic stuff around pillar defence, they have to own this themselves, the players and the coaches. So it is worrying, there's no doubt about it. But, you know, it is very early season. I think maybe, you know, the win against Connacht was possibly a little bit lucky. They got away with that one. They showed a lot of character to kind of get scores when they were under pressure and when they went behind in that second half against Connacht. Their reaction to the game the other day when I think the first two tries, Trula's first tries off the back of a mistake, a penalty, gives them an opportunity to kick into the corner. Very preventable stuff. And I think when you look back at all the tries, preventable. He finishes well in the corner, but defensively, they just look kind of, they're not getting that line speed. They're not getting that aggressive hit. I think back to Cahill Ford's try last week against Connacht. You know, it's stuff that you think needs to be a lot better. The defensive pillar, I think Ollie Yeager will, he knew it straight away. He'll know it and he'll probably have to live with that one for a while where you cannot leave pillar. Amazingly, it happened in the second half again with Jeremy Lockman. You know, he's a very experienced player. Both of them are. So it's kind of the basic errors summed up the performance. The Jack O'Donoghue pass at the end, which is a mile forward. Although I thought Jack O'Donoghue actually brought a bit of aggression and carry and a bit of attitude to his performance. So he can hold his head up, absolutely no doubt. The Mike Haley intercept pass, you know, after halftime, after playing poorly in the first half and actually scoring four tries, being direct when they got up there, being physical, Gavin Coombs scores two tries, you know, Mike Haley's try, Brian Fitzgerald before halftime. You think, right, you're going to dust yourselves down here, realize that's okay, it's not as hard as we're possibly making it. Do the simple things well. We'll get tries here. Keep it tight. Defend well. And the end result is we'll win this game with a good score and go home with 5 points from Italy. The last thing you want to do is at 28-15, give the opposition a tiny bit of belief and bring them right back into it. So Mike Haley's pass is reckless. He was brilliant last week. He got a good try the other day. But the pass is reckless, really. And it brings Zebra straight back into the game. And then it's mistake after mistake. And, you know, Licata ends up scoring that try and bringing him, I think it was a point in it. And then 59 minutes, Jeremy Lockman leaves pillar and they're ahead. And they're, but they were the team that were looking like they wanted to win it. They had more energy, more desire, more aggression, more cohesion, all that kind of stuff, and more belief. So, but I think when you look at the game, Munster would be really disappointed with what they did as players on the field. And somebody said no leadership. It just, that word comes out when you have a performance like this. And a lot of players went quiet. They started to force things. I think territorially they were poor. They got no. Can you remember once that they were in the opposition 22 in that second half or putting pressure on that Zebra line? They got there in the end with the late try from Shane McCarthy. But other than that, they had no territory. So I think figuring out how in a game like this, when we're away from home, do you get into the opposition half and stay there? And a few times when they're in there inside the half between the 10-yard lines, they're making mistakes. They're getting beaten at the breakdown. You know, the stats are alarming. 8 turnovers won by Zebre, 1 by Munster. you know, that tells a story. It tells a story of attitude and aggression and determination at the breakdown. John Hodnett, I thought, could have got rewarded a couple of times. He's locked onto the ball. But, you know, the biggest concern probably is 26 tackles missed last week, 20. The stats will tell you in a couple of different. I had 22 to 25 here because there were two different numbers on two different places I found that. But when you're in the 20s both weeks and missed tackles, it's way too high. So, yeah, 2 years ago, they went in round two to Dragons and they were beaten 23-17. And that was a difficult start to the year. And obviously, they went and won it at the end of the year. They won two games in their first seven, turned it around, went to South Africa near the end, got two great results, ended up going to Glasgow, Leinster and Cape Town and winning the URC. So let's hope that they can go on some sort of a run again and they learn quickly from this. I think the start of the season, I'd be interested to see what you think, Fiona. Two friendlies. They lost against Bath. That was barely close, but very worrying kind of disjointed performance against Gloucester and well beaten there. Five tries, six tries last week and six tries on Saturday. How do you fix that as a coach?
Yeah, that's just when we were chatting. And it's the defence is, you know, the main thing. Yes, there was errors. Yes, there was individual sloppiness at times. But defence as a whole to be leaking in those first four games, to be leaking that many tries. And no disrespect to the opposition, but they're going to face tougher, more clinical teams, definitely in Europe.
Maybe that's the problem, is it? Maybe they didn't, you know, expect and thought this would be, they wouldn't be tested that much. Now, in fairness to Graham Rowntree, he did say beforehand, and I've said it myself in my analysis of Zebre, they're dangerous if you allow them play. They can hurt you, particularly with their back three. But is it an attitude thing? Is it a system thing? Or it's surely not a system thing because they were very strong defensively last year. How come we're now missing tackles and making very basic errors and look kind of soft at times? Is, you know, it could be down to the preseason. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say yes, it's a system thing. There's definitely things I think need to be tweaked. Obviously, Munster's defensive system is the same. You know, you've got the same coach. So teams are going to analyse. They're going to see how to break it down, how to keep you narrower. But the line speed, the aggression, that's not there. That's the players. You know, you look at that, you review that, you in training, they would do numerous drills about that. But for some reason, they don't trust the connections to be able to come up at speed. I think there's a lack of trust there, I find, especially when they get out wider, definitely internally. But when it goes from 12 to 13 and how their scramble defence around that and their decision-making has been quite poor. So is that personnel? I don't know, but it's definitely something they're going to have to look at because it's too, the tries are too easily being scored. You know, you have to work so hard, especially in that internal defence and for to look up and you see just a switch or a basic play and for teams to score like that. So it's certainly an area they look at, but I mean, we know Levy, like we know he's an excellent coach. We've seen it last year. There's been serious defensive performances, but for some reason, they're not getting it out of their players defensively. So whether it's going to be a full focus now on that for this week, I would have presumed after Connacht that that's an area they would have spent a lot of time looking at and reviewing and wondering how are we going to make those connections better? How are we going to cut the space out? So look, it's a double blow. We've seen six tries again this week. So I'm sure they're going to have them out in the pitch and definitely working on those connections. But as we know, in the centres, injuries, there's been quite a few. So who are they going to be working with this week as well? So that's the question as well. But look, it's as you said, Quinny, it is that first couple of games. There's rust there. If it continues, they're going to be up against a good side against it, Ospreys this weekend. If it continues, then you're probably seriously looking at, is this a system error? And how do we change? We're going to have to change things up big time.
And that is it for part one of the Red 78. To listen to the full episode where we discuss the defeat to Zebre in more detail and we look ahead to Saturday's clash with the Ospreys, become an Off The Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off The Ball app, Apple, Spotify or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot.